Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Hanukkah. Also this week, please consider making a donation to the podcast. Your donation of any amount would make a real difference. We're in the middle of our $18 campaign, and I would very much appreciate it if everyone could make a donation of $18 or more. Your gift is tax deductible, and you can make it online at any time via donate.pardesusa.org. Thanks very much. Hanukkah starts this Friday evening. It'll be the first lights. And remember that there are traditionally special rules for lighting the Hanukkah lights on Friday nights, which we'll do twice this year, on the first night and on the last night. On Friday nights, we use extra-large Hanukkah candles since we want to light them before the Friday night candles, and it's still relatively light out. So we want the Hanukkah candles to last a long time into the darkness. If you have any questions about this, I recommend that you consult your spiritual advisor. He or she will be delighted to discuss the intricacies of Shabbat and Hanukkah lighting. This week, the podcast is in honor of Hanukkah, and it's by Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells is a faculty member at Pardes. His focus is Jewish mysticism. And now, Rabbi Jacobson Mizells.
Thank you, Larry. Today we will be looking at a teaching from Rabbi Kolonimus Kalmus Shapira, the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto and a very important Hasidic thinker and leader in early and mid-20th century Poland. This particular drasha was written and given in the year 1930 for Chanukah. He begins by discussing a midrash, and tells us, HaMidrash matchil im ma'amid dvarim kechoma, haynu sheyeh chazak b'chol dvar kechoma. The midrash says, you'll succeed if you stand things up like a wall, that is, if you are strong in everything like a wall. Veta hefech mizeh omer midrash, v'im dal hu b'mitzvot. And the opposite of this, the midrash describes as being dal b'mitzvot, that is, poor in mitzvot. V'lo amar im kalhu mitrofef. But it doesn't say if he is light or flighty. Ki midrash melamdeinu bazeh shedalut Yisrael b'mitzvot lo mipnei she'enam rotzim lasot chas v'shalom. Because the midrash teaches through this that the poverty of Israel in mitzvot, when they are weak in mitzvot and they don't do mitzvot, it's not because they don't want to do them, God forbid. Rotzehu rak she'enu chazak kechoma u'mitrofef mipnei kol minia. He wants to. It's just that he isn't strong like a wall, and rather is flighty. He goes back and forth before every obstacle that is easily turned away. So this is the opening question. The opening question is, what does it mean to be strong like a wall? What does it mean to have the capacity to really fulfill the mitzvot? And what does it mean to not be able to do them? Not because there's a lack of desire, but there's a lack of the capacity to overcome the impediments which stand in our way. The second text, which plays a central role in this drasha, is a passage from Gemara Shabbat, which talks about Chanukah, the laws of Chanukah. It says, Amar Rav Huna, Ptilot v'shmanim she'amru chachamim ein madlikim behem b'shabbat. Rav Huna says, wicks and oils, which the sages said cannot be used to light Shabbat candles, ein madlikin behen b'chanukah. One cannot use them to light Chanukah candles either. Bein b'shabbat, bein b'chol. Whether it's Chanukah, which happens to happen on a Friday night, whether it's Shabbat, or whether it's just a normal weekday. Amar Rava, Rava says, my time of the Rav Huna. What's the reasoning behind Rav Huna's statement? Kesabar. His reasoning is, kavta zakukla. His reasoning is that if the candle goes out, one has a need for the candle. That is, one must relight the candle. Either perhaps because the candle has not burnt for its required length of time, or the second element he tells us is, umutar lihishtemesh lora, and it's permissible to use its light. That is, you might be relighting the candle because you want to use its light. And therefore, the wicks and oils that you cannot use to light a Shabbat candle are precisely because those wicks and oils don't burn well and may go out. And so too, for that same reason, because you're going to have to relight the Chanukah candle anyway, and especially if on Shabbat it goes out and you're using its light, you might be tempted to relight it or to tilt the dish to provide it with more oil and therefore violate the Sabbath. So we say you can't use the kinds of wicks and oils which might lead to that situation. Rather, you should only use ones that that are suitable also for use in Shabbat. But there's a disagreement. V'Rav Chista amar, madlikin behen b'chol, aval lo b'Shabbat. But Rav Chista said, no. You can use the wicks and oils, which one cannot use in Shabbat, one can use on Hanukkah to light the Hanukkah candles during a weekday, but just not on Shabbat. Kasavar, what's the explanation? What's the reasoning? Kavta ein zakukla umatar leishtemesh laora. If they go out, one doesn't need to relight them. So if it goes out on a weekday, it's okay. You've done the mitzvah, you don't need to relight it. Umutar leishtemesh laora. And it's permissible to use their light. But because it's permissible to use their light, you might be using their light, and therefore on Shabbat you might be tempted to relight them, and therefore on Shabbat we make sure that you use the best kinds of wicks and oils, the kinds that you can only use to light the Shabbat candles. Amar Rabbi Zera Amar Rav Matna, Va'amri La Amar Rav Zera Amar Rav. So Rabbi Zera said in the name of Rav Matna, and some say that Rabbi Zera said in the name of Rav, P'tilot v'shmanim shem ruha chamim ein mandikim behem b'Shabbat, mandikim behem b'Chanukah. Bein b'chol, bein b'Shabbat. So he presents a third possibility. He says, the wicks and the oils which the sages said that you can light, that you cannot use them to light the candles on Shabbat, you can use them on Hanukkah. Here, whether it's chol, whether it's a weekday, or whether it's Shabbat, in both situations, it's fine to use them. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, my time of the Rav. He says, well, what's the reasoning behind Rav's statement? Kesabar, the reasoning is, Kavta ein zakukla v'asor lihishtemesh laora. Ah, so this is the third possibility. He says, if they go out, they're not needed. One doesn't have to continually relight them. So it's okay if it's being used, a less good wick or oil is used. And it's forbidden to use their light. So since you can't use their light anyway, there's no worry that you might be using their light on Shabbat. You might be tempted to relight them. So it's okay, you can use a less good wick. So those are the three positions in the Gemara. Now let's go on to Rabbi Shapira's discussion of these issues. So he says, this is the important issue to consider. Gam b'chol ha'olam Hashem nira, aval nira rak l'sha'ab, eit shekavod shemayim nira bo. Says, in all the world, God is visible. God appears. But God appears only for a moment. At the moment when the heavenly glory appears on the person. L'chein tamid rak b'cho'achi v'rak gufani v'hester k'mo gar'in mar nirebo. And so, it always is only in potentiality. It's not the full revelation of the divine. And it's only in the body that has only seen the material world. You see it in the hidden state, like a bitter seed. V'ish Yisrael tzarich sh'ashem yirebo tamid v'az hitgalut shel kedushahi. The Jew needs to have the situation where God is appearing to him always, and therefore there's this constant revelation of holiness. And it all depends on this question of whether he stands up things like a wall, whether it is this wall-like strong capacity, and is not ephemeral or unstable. Hu tzarich lachlit badato. Ani Yehudi ve'eved Hashem ve'kol becherati asher bi she'ani omer ata livchor im lavod et Hashem. He has to say to himself, right? He has to decide, I'm a Jew and I'm a servant of God. And my entire choice right now is to choose to be a servant of God. That's where I'm committing all my energy. Bi ze kfar muchlat. And in me, this decision is already made. Ve'chut she'ani Yehudi min dorei dorot u'min avot ha'kadoshim. And moreover, not only am I a Jew of many generations and a descendant of our holy ancestors, gam ani batzmi masarti v'ani moser b'chol yom et nafshi v'gufi l'Hashem. I myself, this is also a personal decision. I myself give myself over, and I give myself over every day, body and soul, to God. And all of my choice is not whether to serve God, but rather simply how. In which way can I become close to God? How will I conquer my evil inclination and cleave to Torah and mitzvot? How will I do even more Torah, learn more Torah, and daven more, and serve as is fitting? And with these kinds of thoughts, These are his constant companions. Right? This is the constant state of his mind that he's trying to figure out, I've already decided I want to serve God. This is this aspect of being a wall. But how do I serve God? How do I actually do it? And when he does that, when he's already committed to this aspect of serving God, to trying to be holy in the world, and the choice is only about how to do it, va'az gufo v'gufaniyoto kodesh, then also his body and all his corporeality, his materiality, all the physical facts of his life, not simply special things like mitzvot, not simply elevated things like thinking a wonderful thought in Torah, but simply the normal practicalities of his life become sanctified, become holy. Four, and he gives this interesting example, Kiyim gam behima pshuta lo nitchalfa lekodesh b'kedushat haguf b'korban. For is it not the case that a simple animal does not become sanctified with this sanctity of the body when it becomes a sacrifice? Vayim haKohen sheachla lo ita achilato kedusha laHashem. And is not the Kohen's eating of that sacrifice a holy eating, sanctified to God? Vakol na'asa min ha'isha pashut haRuven vaShimon. And it's all done from this just simple person. It doesn't start with a Kohen. It doesn't start with somebody elevated. It just starts with a simple guy, some Reuven, some Shimon. V'lifamim af ish choteh shigila et bechirato v'omer ani rotze lashuv l'Hashem v'efrish chatat. And sometimes even with a sinful person, right, who realizes, he reveals his choice, that he made this poor choice, and he says, look, I want to do tshuva. I want to return to God. And he brings this sacrificial offering, this sin offering. Oh, ani rotze leitkarev l'Hashem v'afrish shlemim. Or he just decides, I want to get closer to God, and he brings a shlemim offering. V'naseh b'ema kodesh, v'gam ha'kohen v'ochlo lo achila gufanit, rak kedusha naseh. And then the animal itself becomes holy, and so too the Kohen's eating of the animal becomes holy, the priest's eating becomes holy. And all this starts, this interesting example, with the simple decision of a simple Israelite, a simple Jew. Right? It doesn't have to be somebody special. He makes the decision, and in making this decision, he transforms the very nature of himself and the world around it. But in order to do it, this, Shtira'eb ish Yisrael b'kedushata af bedavrim gufanim, tzricha ish liot b'chinat ima midvrim kechoma, bechlet uvetamid. But to do this, to have this aspect of even one's body becoming sanctified, then you have to have this aspect, this quality of standing things up like a wall. You have to have this strength with certainty and always. You have to have this constant quality of presence. And really the essence of that, the first step, is for the person to know that it's not enough to simply do the mitzvah. Right? You can't say, oh, I did the mitzvah. I did whatever I did. I said a bracha. I put on tefillin. I gave tzedakah to somebody. That's enough. Just doing the mitzvah. Rak sheyaseh v'yitaken et atzmo. Rather, he has to understand that he must do the mitzvah, and in the doing of it, and in the consciousness of it, transform and fix himself. So this is very interesting. Rav Shapira tells us here that, in fact, the deep meaning of doing mitzvot, the deep meaning of our religious and our moral practice, is, in fact, to transform ourselves. That every mitzvah is supposed to be a moment of self-work. And in fact, when we do a mitzvah without that aspect of self-work, when we don't have the consciousness that doing this mitzvah is going to transform us right now, is going to make us into better people, is going to bring us closer to God, then we in fact are not doing the mitzvah properly at all. Ki mi shechoshev shedai lo ma sheyaseh ta mitzvot. Because one who thinks that it's enough that he just does the mitzvah, he does the actions. When he does that, is not in this constant state of choosing, of mindfulness, of awareness. Rather, only when a mitzvah happens to come to his hand. It's just like, oh, now there's an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Okay, I'll choose to do it. But if there's no mitzvah before him right now, then everything is silenced in him. And so too, not only when there isn't a mitzvah before him, but sometimes even when he's doing a mitzvah. In any case, He's not in a state of actively choosing or being actively involved in the mitzvah, like those mitzvot which are already habitual, right? Everybody has something they do that's habitual, some part of Judaism they do that's habitual, and they do it. You're not even really choosing to do it. You're not even actively involved. You're not even mindful of your act. You're just doing it. It just happens. That's what you do. The Kamosh Amru Chazal, Shetzichim La'akir Tova La'Rosh Shekarea B'modim Be'atzmo. And just as the sage has said, that one has to be grateful to the head, that it bows in Modim by itself. Kivan shechoshev sherak lasot otam tzarich v'tu lo, ein sheyach lifor la'anich tefillin v'chulei. Kivan shekvar otzeh me'atzmo. But of course, this isn't the case when it's automatic. And that's what he says, right? But if a person thinks that he just has to do the mitzvah and no more, that's his only requirement, then this whole question of choosing it, of mindful awareness, of presence, is not there. Rather, he just puts on the tefillin, and that's it. And really, it's just like it's doing it itself. He's not even an active participant in the process. Ma she'ein kein mi sheyodea shepasuk omer v'hitkadashtem v'hitem kedoshim, which is not the case with one who recognizes, who knows that the verse tells us, sanctify yourselves and be holy. That is, every act of a mitzvah is not just an act, not just a habitual response, but an opportunity for sanctification and for transformation. Kamosha ita b'midrash kohelet she'atorah b'shvil Yisrael. Just as it says in the Midrash on Kohelet, that Torah is for Israel. What does this mean? Kamosha ita b'arambam zal she'tachlita Torah hi lavo le ubo tidabkun. Just as Rambam, the Maimonides, says that the goal of the Torah is that one should come to the state of cleaving to him. So this is fascinating, right? One shouldn't think that the Torah doesn't have a purpose. And one shouldn't think that it's enough to just do the Torah and not understand what's happening. Rather, the Torah is for Israel. And for, in particular, Maimonides tells us, a particular purpose for cleaving to God. And we need to bring that consciousness, that awareness, that every act of mitzvah is, in fact, for the goal of cleaving to God, to every mitzvah we do. Otherwise, we're not even fully doing the mitzvah. V'zayi karetzlo la'asot et atzmo. And this should be the essence with him, right? This is the essence of the real practitioner, that he makes himself. In doing every mitzvah, in every act, this is an act of self-formation, of self-cultivation. Va'az, afim ein mitzvah lefanav, aval hu b'matzmo nimtza lefanav. And then, even if there isn't a particular mitzvah before him, so what? He himself is before himself at every moment. He's always before himself. He's always there to be worked on and to be transformed. V'im atzmo tzarichu lasot tamid, v'ein lo rega shiyeh lo menucha me'avodat atzmo. And with himself, he needs to work constantly. And there should not be a moment of rest from this self-work. This is quite a powerful and drastic demand, that we need to be in a constant state of self-work, a constant state of awareness and mindfulness, a constant state of looking at ourselves, of observing ourselves, and seeing ourselves before ourselves as an opportunity to transform ourselves, to become better people, to become more compassionate people, to become more aware people, to become people more in touch with our spirituality, more in touch with the divine, to become people more in touch with and in contact with those close to us, our family, our friends, our community. V'tamid tzarichu livchor, v'Hashem shura bo tamid, lo l'sha'a u'b'koch levad. And therefore needs to constantly choose. This aspect of mindfulness is really, in that sense, the aspect of freedom. That is, insofar as we're not aware, insofar as we're not constantly mindful, we're actually enslaved. We're enslaved to our habits, to our habituation. We're not making choices. We're not making active decisions. We're just reacting. There's a mitzvah for it, so we do it. If there's something we do that isn't so great in our lives, some vice we have, some kind of mistake we make, we just do it. We don't reflect on it. We're not aware of it the moment it's about to happen. But if we're actually in this state of mindfulness, then we're constantly choosing. Then we're genuinely free, and then we're able to, in fact, choose the path of divinity, the path of goodness. And then, Rav Shapiro tells us, then God dwells within him, always. Not simply for a moment, and not simply in potential, but rather in actuality. The divine is fully present within him at every moment. And he continues that this is the difference between what he calls Kabbalat Mitzvot and Kabbalat HaTorah. That we speak about the receiving of the Torah, not the receiving of the Mitzvot. Why? Even though he asks the question, well, why is this the case when in fact the Torah is filled with mitzvot and their explanations? Why do we speak about the receiving of the Torah rather than the receiving of the mitzvot? Mipnei shehamitzvot mi sheyodei otam kfar eino tzarich lekablan. Kshelamed et tzor shulchan aruch kfar yodea hu eich lekayman. Because one who knows the mitzvot, he doesn't need to receive them. And one who's learned the kitzor shulchan aruch, the abridgment of the shulchan aruch, he already knows how to do them. Masha ein kein b'tevat haTorah, but this is not true with the word Torah. Haremes hu kamo she'ita b'zohar kadosh. The hint here is like it says in the Holy Zohar, Sheshma Torah shemore et derech Hashem. What's the meaning of the word Torah? That it teaches the path of God. U'mishe yodea she'et atzmo tzarichu lasot l'kadesh, az yodea she'tamid tzarichu l'more haderech, v'tamid hu mekabel et haTorah. But one who knows that he has to be constantly working on and making him and sanctifying himself, then he knows that he constantly needs this guide, this teaching of the path. And he needs to constantly receive the Torah unto himself. That is, what's the difference? If you think what you're receiving is just the mitzvot, then you think, oh, I know the mitzvot, there are actions, I do them, that's it, sof sipor, I'm done. But he says that's not the idea at all. That's how we speak about the receiving of the Torah. Because the Torah is not just a bunch of mitzvot. The Torah is a pathway of self-transformation, of self-sanctification, and of closeness to God. And therefore one constantly needs this pathway, even when one knows the technical details of the action of the mitzvot, that is not enough. In fact, that isn't even the true meaning of the mitzvah itself. Rather, one has to be constantly searching for the proper way to act in one's life, both in mitzvot and outside of mitzvot, the way that allows you to access your true nature and your true sanctity. And when he does this, when he integrates this consciousness, when he wants to work on himself constantly, gam b'shashay mitzvah lefanav, oved im atzmo bocher, even in a time when there's no mitzvah before him, he's constantly working on himself and choosing, im chomahu, if he is this aspect of a wall, an aspect of constancy and presence, Az gamba ina de lo asik be matzle, then even in a time when he is not involved in the actual practice of a mitzvah, matzle, he is saved. Ki gam az ain't etzlo bekoach, rak before, vakol kedusha etzlo, gamma gufanit. Because then, this holiness is with him always, not simply in potentiality, but in actuality. And everything is sanctified with him, even the bodily. And now he begins to connect this back to Hanukkah, the subject of the drash. He refers back to the Parsha of Miketz and says, what is this meaning of the language of Miketz? Ketz sam lechoshech. God put an end, a limit to the darkness. Ma'u lechoshech, what is the darkness? Hayetzara. It's our evil inclination. Shekozman sheyetzara bolam, ofel v'tzal mavet v'chulei. That all... Every moment that Yetzer Hara is in the world, our evil inclination is in the world, when we act evilly, then the world is full of darkness. Ne'kar Yetzer, but when we uproot a Yetzer, then we bring light. Mizeba choshech v'Yetzer, minaketz v'azman. And this is where actually this aspect of darkness in Yetzer comes from, he says, from this aspect of ending and time, of limitation. But when you have this kind of permanent illumination, permanent awareness, then this is the revelation of holiness. And there is not darkness, and there is not the Yetzirah. But, but the kind of illumination that only comes every once in a while, right, that is limited by time, then this time is its limit. So he says this aspect of constant awareness is actually fundamentally connected to this aspect of darkness and light, which is the aspect of evil and good in the world. When we lack the constant awareness, when we're only acting when opportunities come before us, when we're not actually aware of our actions most of the time, that is the context and structure in which the Yetzer Hara, or evil inclination, grows and develops. That is the context and structure in which darkness spreads out into the world. But the opposite, the aspect of Chanukah here, the aspect of bringing light into the world, of increasing light into the world, is this aspect of constant awareness. That if we can bring this mindfulness of constantly choosing, then perhaps we can bring a world which is genuinely a world of light. And he continues. Vizenyan kavta zakukla. And this is the aspect of, as it goes out, we require it, which was Rav Huna's position in the Gemara. That means we need to relight it. Haminorah b'migdash pa'ala l'kadesh v'la'ir et libot Yisrael. The menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple, acted, its whole activity and function was to sanctify and enlighten the hearts of Israel. Right? That was the actual function of the menorah in the temple. V'kena ner Chanukah k'noda. And so too, as is known, this is the function of the candles of Chanukah. Right? They are in memory and place of the menorah in the temple. And so too, the lights of Chanukah are there in order to sanctify us and illuminate us. V'lechen amar Rav Huna kavta zakukla. And therefore Rav Huna said, if it goes out, we require it, we need to relight it. Lo shetia ra rak l'sha'a, rak kol hazman yir. So that this light should not be just be for a moment, but rather it should be enlightening us constantly. Vim kavta yitkana v'yad likena shuv. And if it goes out, we need to fix it and light it again. Right? That is, what is Rav Huna saying? When he says, if it goes out, we need to light it again. He's speaking actually about our own practice, our own souls, the light of our own presence and awareness. When that light is extinguished, which it is all the time, our practice, our goal, is to return, fix it, and re-illuminate ourselves. To open that light of awareness, to open that light of choice, to open that light of seeing the divine presence every time we lose it, every time it goes out. V'Rav Amar lo di bezeh levad, rak tzuchim lasot shelo tikabeh. But Rav says, right, Rav who says, no, you have to use the best kinds of wicks and oil, the kinds that you would use on Shabbat, not the bad kinds that might go out. He says, no, it's not enough that we just say, if it goes out, I'm going to relight it. Rather, we have to make sure that it doesn't go out. That is so too in us, right? One aspect is we lose it and we come back. We lose it and we come back. We forget and we bring back awareness, and that's wonderful. But the other aspect is, how do we work on ourselves? How do we make ourselves into the best kinds of oil and wick? A kind of oil and wick which is burning brightly constantly and is in fact not going to go out. Kolomar, anu mindabrim beremez haner Chanukah. That is, we're speaking about a hint about the meaning of the candle of Chanukah. V'noda she'adinim shemru chazal b'pshat ha'Torah. Hayam ibnei she'ra'u kach beremez v'soranyan. And we know that the laws, which the sages said, concerning the simple meaning of the Torah, that is, what you can do with the Chanukah candle, the actual physical action, they said that because they saw the secret meaning of this activity, the deeper meaning of this activity. And according to our state in our worship, Rav said, one cannot use the light of the Chanukah candle. One can't use it, right? That was the second part of Rav's position. That is, on the one hand, you don't need to relight it because you have to use the best material from the beginning. And it's forbidden to use its light. Ki keniskar lamala ikar tikun shelo yeh or rak l'sha'a kamo kol dvarim agufanim. Because we mentioned already above that the essence of this tikun, of this self-transformation, is that the light should not simply be a temporary phenomenon, not a moment of illumination, as every material thing is, right? We know about the ephemerality of the material world. Of our lives, of our worlds, everything changes. Everything is for a moment. It's born, it dies, it passes. So too, our bodies, so to every experience, so to everything in the world, everything in this physical world, is born and dies, is created and is destroyed. Ela sheyada ish shelo dailo ba'asiya levad, rak sheyasevi kadeshet atzmo. Rather that a person should know that the action itself is not enough, this action which is an ephemeral action, rather that he must sanctify himself, the sanctification which has the possibility of being something which is permanent, a permanent quality, a permanent aspect. V'asor lishtamesh b'ner Chanukah tashmish shachol, rak kol makom she'or Chanukah magia, yafech letashmish dekdusha. And it is forbidden to use the light of Chanukah for some everyday use. Right? You can't just use it to read a book. You can't just use it to clean the dishes. I don't know. To cut your nails. Whatever you're doing with the light. You can't use it for that. Rather, every place where the light of Chanukah reaches must be transformed into the use of holiness. Into a thing of holiness. And so too here he says with our consciousness. That is, we can be distracted, we cannot pay attention, we cannot be mindful. We cannot be choosing every moment, but just going along in our habitual lives. And maybe here and there, at a moment of excitement, of connection, we'll have a moment of illumination, of awareness and presence. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a candle suddenly being lit for a moment in the darkness. But then we forget. And then the light of the candle simply becomes our everyday life once again, our everyday lives of habituation, of not paying attention, of reacting instead of choosing how we want to respond to a situation. But what the laws of Chanukah tell us here, he says, that in fact our goal is that that light should be a constant source of sanctity. That just as the Chanukah lights are not used for everyday purposes, but rather used as an illumination of holiness, so too that light of awareness, that awareness of the divine, the mindfulness which allows us to choose our actions every moment, so too that is a constant illumination of sanctity. And that's available to us. It's available to us when we recognize, when we return every moment to that illumination, or when we cultivate or train ourselves so that our soul will be the oil and wick of the best type, the kind of oil and wick which doesn't go out. Ukshayafech et atzmo v'tashmishav d'kedusha lo yichabeh or kedusha haba miner Chanukah. And so he concludes, when a person transforms himself and his objects, his body, his actions, to holiness, then the light of holiness will not be extinguished. That light which comes from the light of Chanukah. That is, what is the real work of Chanukah? And what are the laws of Chanukah telling us on a deeper level? They're telling us, Rav Shapira says, that this illumination which we experience at Chanukah, which grows and deepens on Chanukah, is not only reserved for Chanukah, but is it a light and illumination that we aim to have with us all year round at every moment? And the opportunity of Chanukah is an opportunity to deepen and integrate that light into ourselves, to transform our very self into an object, an action, a being of holiness, in such a way that that light will never be extinguished, but rather accompanies us constantly. Just as we light the Chanukah candles from the best, so that they too will not be extinguished, but will accompany us constantly. So too may each of us find that inner light, that light which grows just as the light grows in the days of Chanukah, and which comes firmly planted within us and carried with us all our days, so that mindfulness, that illumination, that consciousness, and our constant choice to respond in the best way possible, to be present with divinity, and to constantly be cultivating our best self, is always present.
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson, myself. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send your comments to podcasts at pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.